Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. A very busy week. We have the Democratic National Convention. We have primaries in various states around the country. A big revision in the jobs numbers. We're going to talk about all of that. Scott, good to have you here.
It's always great to be with you, Loman. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we did have primary elections in Florida and Alaska this past week. Want to give us some of the highlights of those two election days?
First, down in the Sunshine State, Congressman Bill Posey announced that he was going to be retiring a few months ago, and it created a big open race. There was a front runner from day one. Mike Haradopoulos is the former president of the Florida Senate, a University of Florida professor in U.S. government and history, and really just a good guy with a lot of ties to that district. And Haradopoulos ran away with the primary victory and Republican nomination. That's a safe Republican seat, and I'm really excited for Mike that he's going to be a member of Congress come January. Then when you flip it over to the panhandle, Congressman Matt Gaetz had millions of dollars spent against him by sort of the vindictive donor class that was upset that he helped lead that charge to vacate Kevin McCarthy just under a year ago. Nonetheless, these people in that district really, really like Matt Gaetz. He finished with about 75% of the primary and won by almost 50%. And I think it's really a strong signal to anybody that thinks that they can defeat Matt Gaetz in the first congressional district of Florida that they are wasting their money, because Gaetz is very well loved in his district by his people.
Meanwhile, up in Alaska, we had a situation where Alaska's lone congressional district flipped Republican to Democrat a couple of years ago, a primary again this past week. How are the stars lining up there?
You may recall in 2022, the dean of the House, Don Young, passed away on a flight home to Alaska. And so it created a special election primary, a primary, and then a general election. And it sounds kind of confusing because Alaska's election rules are what's known as a jungle runoff, where the top four finishers, regardless of party affiliation, advance to the general election. And so in 2022, you had Mary Peltola, Sarah Palin, Nick Begich, and another candidate that made it to the through the primary into the jungle runoff for the general election. And ultimately, in ranked choice voting for the general election, Sarah Palin hopped Begich into second place, but a lot of those moderate centrist, Lisa Murkowski, Republican-type voters of Alaska couldn't stomach Sarah Palin in Congress, and they voted for a Democrat named Mary Peltola. So fast forward 2 years, Nick Begich has given it another run, and Nancy Dahlstrom is the lieutenant governor of Alaska. And so there was two very strong Republican candidates really trying to have a shot to be considered the front runner in a ranked choice scenario for the general election against Peltola, who we knew was going to advance. And so who took second place this week was really, really important. Nick Begich had pledged, if he took third place, that he would drop out of the race. But lucky for him, he finished in second place behind Peltola and ahead of Nancy Dahlstrom, with about 27%, while Dahlstrom finished with 20%.
Meanwhile, farther south in Chicago, the Democrats this past week had their quadrennial political national convention and officially nominated Kamala Harris. Just interested in your thoughts on the DNC.
Well, listen, I thought that, and I'm a partisan hack, right? That's why I think a lot of people listening will say, well, Scott's a conservative, he's a Republican. But there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm behind the Democrats this week in Chicago. And ultimately, we know that there's going to be big partisans that show up on the left and show up on the right, and this race is going to come down to the disconnected, forgotten voter that represents the middle and the independent voter class. And I think right now, that enthusiasm is shifting right back toward Donald Trump. We saw Kamala have sort of this bump after she stole the nomination from Joe Biden, but ultimately, this week, the betting markets have really shifted in Trump's favor. I think we saw about 11-point swing during the convention. Instead, Kamala's struggling with her campaign, and they're going to have to find a way to reach those independent voters and not just, you know, have these ad hominem attacks against Donald Trump. The bottom line is people are worse off. And we also learned this week that the Department of Labor has sort of been hyperbolizing those jobs reports for several months. They announced this week that 800,000 jobs that were supposed to have been added to the U.S. economy from late 2023 to early 2024 have vanished in thin air like a magic trick, and those projections were off. That it was a big, big downward correction. We often do see economic data fill into the Department of Labor and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and you have these different corrections, whether it's more jobs were added or less jobs, but to the tune of 800,000 jobs missing now from the economy. And again, it gets back to, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And I think voters understand that they're struggling with jobs. They're struggling with wages. They're struggling to invest. They're struggling to innovate. And it's all because big government is in the way. A lot of people, if you have a government job, you're feeling pretty comfortable. Your salary is consistent. But if you're an entrepreneur or somebody that is employed by a small business, right now you're pretty nervous. And that's a big, big thing because those Trump 2017 tax cuts expire at the end of 2025 on the individual side. So all those pastor entities that saw the Trump tax cuts, those will go away if we do nothing. And Kamala Harris has said that she wants to increase taxes by $5 trillion and add $2 trillion more of spending through enhancing the earned income tax credit for childless adults and doing these stupid reforms that didn't work during the Biden stimulus. I think voters are going to have a big, big come to Donald Trump moment, and we're going to win this election in November.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, typically you tell us a little bit about the club, so why don't we do that now?
Well, Club is an organization united in the idea of economic freedom, opportunity, and liberty. We support low taxes, low regulation, and free markets. If you want to learn more, check us out at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you much. We'll check in again next week.
You're welcome.